Hello, welcome, episode 30 of the Ops Team. That's 3-0, yeah, excellent. Now, you may be thinking, what's happened? Normally it's just Oz and I, and we struggle to set everything up, just the two of us, and we don't have enough hands to control everything and set up all the cameras. And now, it's multiplied.
Yeah.
We've got 5, the most we've ever had for a single episode of the Ops Team.
Yeah,
ever.
Actually paying for these guys higher than...
Yeah. We've flown them in, specifically from around the world, just to come for the Ops Team.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should feel privileged.
It's a very diverse environment.
Yes, it's a very European show.
Yeah.
You've got Turkish, you've got British, you've got French. It's very European. But there you go.
Thanks for calling Turkey European.
Well, it's technically more or less European.
Okay, more or less.
Yeah, more or less. I would.
Okay, no
worries. Yeah, there we go. Answers on a postcard to me. Yeah, I get flamed on Twitter now. Anyway, so if you're not familiar with the show, we're at episode 30. So if you've not watched before, where have you been? We each have 5 minutes to go around our respective areas. I'll cover Azure infrastructure and on-prem stuff. Oz typically covers open source and DevOps, but we've got a collection of people all focused on open source and DevOps stuff, so we'll be kind of distributing all the duties and giving different perspectives and all sorts of useful information. And as always, all of the links to the show will be below the video, so you'll be able to get them. So when we come to each of the respective sections, obviously everybody knows Oz, at least the people who watch the show, so we should probably have a little intro, you know, fun fact about yourself. What do you think? People on the spot. Not you and I, because people know us, but... I think the new guys who are here for a short period of time, they should do a who you are, what you do, and a fun fact. So no pressure.
It should be fun.
Yeah, and it has to be fun.
Otherwise, you need to leave the room.
Yeah,
right.
That's it. Yeah, we'll just mute your mic.
I'm
cool. Right. So to kick us off, shall we spin our trusty dongle? It is a HDMI to mini DisplayPort, if you're wondering, if you're a dongle enthusiast. And here we go. First up,
there was this episode name the dongle.
Well, yeah, dysfunctional dongle before, but maybe dongle enthusiast is the new one. It's a good spin.
Yeah,
there you go. It's Julian, okay. Right? So
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It is curving. Okay. But I think the main part of the
Euros.
We'll go to a third party replay, a referee, and I think. Yeah, hang on. It's you.
Okay.
Coming through, yeah. Okay. So we'll give you your 5 minutes, and you're going to talk us through some cool open source stuff from LinuxCon. And your 5 minutes starts now.
Okay, right. So, yeah. I attended LinuxCon maybe 1 month ago now.
You've got to tell us who you are.
Okay, yeah.
And
true.
Your fun fact.
Okay, yeah, my fun fact. I think you can hear my fun fact is my accent. My accent.
No, that was my fun fact.
Oh, sorry. So about that. So you're going to have 3 same fun facts. So, yeah. From Canada now. I live in Canada, in Montreal. I'm covering DevOps open source. And that's pretty it. We are on the same team all together. So that's...
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And back to the topic, LinuxCon. It's an event organized by Linux Foundation. So it was in Toronto, so pretty close to Montreal. That was called for the travel. I spent 1 week over there, and basically Microsoft, we sponsored the event at the top level, I think the Diamond sponsor.
Nice.
We were around 20 people from Microsoft at the booth, so that was a great thing. A lot of people ask, hey, Microsoft, LinuxCon.
What are you doing here?
Exactly. So that was very cool. We have a nice chat and nice conversation about .NET Core, about SQL on Linux. PowerShell, we just announced, actually, I think 2 days before the conference, they announced PowerShell as open source project. So a lot of questions about it. Jeffrey Snowball was there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He did a really nice presentation about how we can combine Bash on Linux with PowerShell. That was really cool. And yeah, so basically I attended a few sessions. The highlight that I have, my personal highlight, was the one from Twitter, from PayPal, and from Facebook. That was really interesting to understand, and these guys share the pain that they have in their infrastructure. We're not the only one. And I mean, if you're doing some open source project, actually you know that, right? You have a lot of pain to implement it. So yeah, they share a lot about how they are doing DevOps, especially the Twitter one was really interesting. after the, I don't know, the fun fact, the tweet during the, is it during the Oscar or Grammy Award?
Yeah, yeah.
From Ellen DeGeneres. Mm. They tweeted with a bunch of
selfie,
stars.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Twitter was down for 1 hour after the tweet. So they...
it's very similar when we publish an Ops team episode.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Twitter just I'm trusting you, yeah. 100%.
That's another reason Twitter is trying to find some infrastructure.
But what I like about that Twitter, I'm no shame to share about it and how they... I mean, we have this thing in DevOps called fail fast. And I think that's a good reason. And I think that's why I like the presentation. So I'm not sure it's online. I'm going to send you the link. I mean, on the
yeah.
We can put the link.
You would hope they would make the videos open source.
Yeah, sure.
Mm, good point.
Sharing is caring.
So, during the keynote that we have, so Wes, our VP or CVP at Microsoft, did a 45 minutes keynote during day two.
Maybe the keynote of LinuxCon.
Yeah. That was cool. And I think 1 hour before, you had Linus Stonewall on the stage. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. And they talk about our journey at Microsoft. Whoa, Microsoft doing open source. And I'm pretty sure you already said it, but one VM in three VM on Azure running Ubuntu right now.
Wow.
So they share this cool statistic. And also I attend a full day training with Docker on the kind of orchestration workshop. So for 1 day, I did a lot of discovered a lot of technology around Swarm, Docker Swarm, with Jérôme Pedazzoni, which is French. So really easy for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, really nice training. I think it's open source. So again, we're going to give you the link. So it's called orchestration-workshop. And you have this application called Docker Coins, and you can play with it. So you can...
So it's a Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, exactly. So the cool thing, you have this idea of microservices, right? You can bit more Docker Coins if you have more containers on your Docker Swarms. And after that, you have some interesting concept like the one that I discovered, which is the ETK. So you can easily push all the logs that you have on your cluster on Logstash and push that on the Elasticsearch containers and do some interesting statistic using Kibana. And I'm pretty sure you can do it with Power BI also. Mm. That's really interesting. So we talk also about Docker Compose V2. So I think that's it for me.
Nice.
I checked the timer.
Well, you've still got some time left.
Pretty good, yeah.
So when people were coming to the booth, were people generally surprised and not very knowledgeable about what Microsoft is doing in open source, or did they already know and wanted to ask specific questions about SQL and Azure or PowerShell?
Yeah, I think now we are in this kind of transition, right?
Oh, that's the cow. Carry on.
Yeah. So we are in this transition, or people get it that we're doing the open source. Now we have explained what we are doing, and I think, Will, we're going to talk about that during the GitHub. But when you think about it, Visual Studio Code, a lot of people use it, and even guys running Linux since 20 years now and really like it, right? But this kind of conversation, and now on the new project like PowerShell, it's still new, right? So what I can do with that? How I can combine what I'm doing my day-to-day with this thing? And so, and the first question is, why are you there? And after that, let me show you what you got. So,
well, isn't Microsoft one of the biggest contributors now to Linux? I thought you had a stat in your presentation last week.
We're going to talk about it.
So I edit that out. I won't. Cool. Oh, well, that's a good review of LinuxCon. And I guess, is it annually? Is there just one per year? Or are there ones like in the US and in Europe that people could travel to?
So that one was the North America LinuxCon,
right,
which is in Toronto. But I heard, and also I didn't talk about that, but it's LinuxCon/ContainersCon,
right,
kind of two different on the same topic, right?
Yeah,
because that's really the same thing. But I think that there is one in Vancouver,
right?
But not a LinuxCon, still organized by Linux Foundation, but kind of. But that was the North America LinuxCon for 2016.
Right.
There's also one in Europe.
Right.
Yeah.
This year it was gonna be in Netherlands.
Yeah. Nice. Well, if we can find the videos and they are available, we will certainly link to them in the notes. So next up, who's it gonna be? I did it slightly slower this time.
French.
There you go.
What are the odds?
Yeah, I'd say probably 60%. Right. So let me start your clock, and you'll have 5 minutes to talk about some more open source and DevOps stuff. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go.
All right, so hello everyone. So my name is William Beschwalter. I'm also a DevOps, a technical evangelist on DevOps with Julien based in Canada. Fun fact.
Speak French?
I can see in 3D.
You can see in 3D?
I cannot see in 3D.
Oh, you cannot see
in 3D. Cannot see in 3D. I don't know if that's fun, but that's the truth.
You, what?
are we all flat?
Like in cartoons, yeah.
Right.
Not exactly, but almost.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Cool. Anyway.
See, that's how I
feel. It's a medical condition, but it's a fun fact. Yeah, that's right.
I don't mind. We can have fun about it.
All right, okay.
So yeah, last week I was at GitHub Universe, so in San Francisco. That was actually really fun. We were, I think, around 2,000 attendees, which is way more than last year.
Just so Microsoft people.
Yeah, just Microsoft. That's it. And yeah, so there was the main keynote of the CEO of GitHub, which was really funny because there was a lot of numbers. And one of them was saying Microsoft is now the number one organization on GitHub with, I think, 16,000 employees are actually contributing on GitHub, which is huge. Mm. And you know, it was really funny because he was like, so now Microsoft is the first one. What a time to be alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, we will laugh out.
And what's interesting is although Microsoft's a huge company, the number of developers in Microsoft is not reflective of how many in the company. You know, we have 90,000, 100,000, whatever it may be, but that's a lot of developers still contributing.
I'm not exactly sure how the metric is calculated. That may be all the collaborators of any repo.
Yeah. They just put the SQL queries they used.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. I need to take a look. So yeah, that was really fun. They also talked a lot about Electron, right? The framework to build Node.js application, but for desktop. And obviously they mentioned VS Code, which is funny considering GitHub as Atom, which are pretty much both concurrent.
Right.
Talk about that, and I think we have now $1.3 million of VS Code, something like that, which is pretty huge. And there was a testimonial at GitHub Universe from a guy who used to be on Vim and is now on VS Code.
Wow.
Which I think, you know, that's like, wow, what is happening? So that was really funny. So yeah, we will link in the link, there is something called the GitHub Octoverse, which is basically the state of the open source in the report. I have some numbers here. So yeah, C# grew year over year of over 88%. In repository, and TypeScript 250%. So that's pretty huge, the sixth biggest repo, I mean, in terms of number of collaborators, is now VS Code on GitHub, which is I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Conference wise, obviously a lot of talk about open source. There was also a lot of talk about chatops, so doing DevOps with bots, right? And there was the other tool, which is called Ghost, G-H-O-S-T, and which allow you to manage your database and, you know, check performances and do scale out other stuff with bots. They have something called UBot, which integrate GitHub with a bot. And it was really, really nice. So yeah, that's my my 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, very efficient. Excellent. Cool. Well, I will stop the timer and we'll not have the cow. But yeah, I guess for a lot of IT professionals anyway, GitHub will still be relatively new, but you don't have to just put code up there. Obviously, it's primarily designed for that, but you know, you can store other artifacts in GitHub as well.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you'll learn more about it as you go forward as well, and we'll provide all the links to the reference and resources. So here we go. One more spin.
Oh.
Is that me?
Yeah,
that would be you.
Right, well, I'll do my on-prem stuff first, and then I'll come back to my
Azure
stuff.
I don't need
after.
To change the camera.
No, we're on it. This is it, because I don't have my own camera this week, because we've just got so many people in the ops team. We're expanding, because ops is important. Right, so my 5 minutes on on-prem stuff starts. Now, there you go. I turned my volume up to full, and it's actually really loud from this Surface Book, and what's going on. So, one of our technical evangelists in the UK, Ed Baker, we featured him on the show in the past from doing some work with NanoServer and putting out some useful information on his blog to help you walk through a NanoServer deployment. And he's just released an additional part of the series on deploying NanoServer to bare metal, which if you've tried it, you know, it's not quite as simple as deploying it in a VM where you just create the virtual disk using the scripts that we provide, and then you attach your virtual disk to a VM and press run and off you go. Deploying it to bare metal is a little bit more tricky. How do you get the image down to the physical server? Do you use network boot? Do you use alternative solutions? Well, he's gone through the joy of creating and managing and setting all of that up on his tiny little nano server box. And you'll see a picture of it. It's probably, what, about that big. So very, very small, these little gigabyte mini PCs, would you call them? I can't remember what the actual term that you call them is, but they're very small. And he carries it around and uses it for demos and stuff. But yeah, blog posts, I'll link to all of that. Very useful to learn how to deploy nano server to bare metal. And obviously this stuff is on TechNet as well, the documentation, but the nice thing is about reading it from a blog, you get all the screenshots, you get any gotchas, you get any extra tips and how to make things easier and stuff that might not always make it into the documentation. So that's a bit about nano server. Now, where's my mouse gone? If you're going to Ignite, lucky you, because you're going to get the chance, if you're interested in on-prem stuff, to meet with a load of different product groups and engineers, as well as go to the sessions. And there's a couple of meetups that I wanted to make you aware of if you are going. If you're not going, then you won't be able to stream the meetups. I highly doubt. It's mainly just for sessions for streaming. But if you are going, the OMS and System Center product team are having a meetup at Ignite. So if you want to speak to them about IT management, operational management, all of that cool stuff that OMS and System Center brings, all you need to do is register on with a short survey that I'll provide the links for. It's a free event for Ignite attendees, and everyone loves free, dinner will be provided. It doesn't say alcohol, but chances are there may be a beer there for you.
Okay, now you're talking.
Yeah, that's it. It's worth going just for the free dinner and beer, if you can justify the flight and the accommodation and everything else. So fill out the survey, they'll send you a meeting request, and yeah, you can go and meet with the OMS and System Center product team. And sticking with that meetup, there's also another one for Azure Stack. And we've talked about Azure Stack loads on the show. There'll be loads more cool info at Ignite for Azure Stack next week. But if you do want to go to a meetup with the Azure Stack team, I don't know if it's the same day or night as the OMS team. That one's the 26th. The OMS team doesn't have a date. So you might be able to go to both, which again, great opportunity to network. And it doesn't say there's free food and beer, but it's at the Hilton Garden Inn, just 10 minutes walk or a short cab from the Georgia World Congress Center. So yeah, register for that and you can go and check it out. So two useful meetups. Now, the final thing I wanted to talk about for on-prem. Ooh.
Coming up, we look.
There you go, that's me talking. Yeah. Shameless plug for the new Microsoft Mechanics show that we just published a few days back. If you're not familiar, Microsoft Mechanics is a really high-end, highly professionally produced.
Just like this.
Yeah, exactly like this. I'm trying to think of analogies and comparisons, but yeah, absolutely nothing like this. For on-prem, for Azure technology, productivity, a whole host of Microsoft technologies. And we just released one on Storage Spaces Direct, so software-defined storage in Windows Server 2016. So check it out. It's about 12 minutes long, really useful info, some good demos in there as well on software-defined storage with the guy who wears some of the coolest shirts, Eldon Christensen. So yeah, definitely check that out. And that is my on-premises news for this week. I don't know where the timer has disappeared to, but let's see. Here we go. There you go. 48 seconds left. I'm going to stop the clock. Boom. There we go. And that's me for on-prem stuff. So it's between you guys and then me for one more for the Azure stuff. But I'll keep it between you guys for now. Here we go. Where's that going? Was it curling around this way, you think?
Yeah. Oh, you told me that.
Yeah, but that point.
Don't change the rules.
All right, okay, I'll spin it. There we go. How did that happen? It just suddenly stopped.
By chance.
So, Damien, you got to introduce yourself and you got to give a fun fact. And it's, so you can't have French and you can't see in 3D.
Those
are taken. So, here we go. Your 5 minutes starts.
So, as you said, I'm Damien. I'm technical evangelist. I'm thinking of a fun fact. I recently moved to Redmond. That out of Paris, that's potentially a fun fact.
That's Paris, Redmond.
Paris, Redmond. Yeah. I mean, they're both.
There's a lot of similarities between those two. Yeah.
Same latitude.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But I was last week in Santa Clara in San Francisco. Nice. For Jenkins World.
Look at this. Jenkins World, GitHub Universe, Linux Guy.
Whereas we're stuck here in the office. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were at Jenkins World as well.
Oh.
Sorry.
You weren't supposed to say that. So we followed Jenkins for a bit of time, and they made some announcement that we've already posted on our blog post. Corey announced that back in May, but they re-announced the partnership that we have with Jenkins on. Actually, they're going to run their application, their website on Azure,
right?
Which is a big thing, and they're going to make sure that they continue building and managing this website on Azure, and their build server is also going to run on Azure.
Nice.
It was a big announcement through the keynote that KK made.
So for people who perhaps aren't familiar, especially some of the IT pros out there, what give us a 10,000 foot view of what Jenkins does.
So Jenkins is a product, I should say, that actually builds and deploy applications.
Right.
Those applications can be coded in pretty much any language. I mean, the sweet spot, I should say, is Java.
Right.
And that's where they come from, and they very well do a build for Java applications, and then they can deploy it in many different environments. And we announced a bunch of plugins that actually make it easier to deploy to Azure.
Right. So a developer would build something, it would get picked up by Jenkins, and Jenkins would orchestrate the deployment.
The deployment. It also adds a bunch of tests. So you can technically go through the whole DevOps process through a pipeline.
Mm.
You can say, okay, here's the code that is on GitHub, for example.
Right.
You pull the code from GitHub. You build the code on the Jenkins machine.
So you compile it.
You can build it on the Jenkins server itself, which is the first step that many companies are doing.
Yeah.
Or you can deploy it on slaves. The slaves are going to actually execute the compilation process without overloading the Jenkins master.
So useful if you've got a big app, scalability, that kind of
thing. Exactly, or you have multiple processes, multiple jobs running at the same time, you want to scale out without having to buy a big, big, big machine.
Yep.
You can spin off 100 VMs in Azure and say, hey, you slaves, you just do the job. Here's the configuration, here's the code, here's the artifact.
Cool.
Just do the job and report to me once you're done. So the job can run for 24 hours, 48 hours, 48 month, maybe not.
It's quite a long job.
It may sound like a pure developer stuff, but one of the sessions in Jenkins World, the guys were talking about integrating Jenkins with System Center Configuration Manager.
Wow.
So operations people.
It is actually very well connected to that operations piece.
Yeah.
Because once you've got the binaries, when you've got the application built, what do you do with it?
Mm.
How do you deploy it? And Jenkins has a large ecosystem of plugins. So the plugin is a piece of code that you add on Jenkins that actually connects to Azure. I'm not going to mention other cloud providers.
Yeah. Some there are other cloud providers, just so you know.
They are.
Yeah. Ask the nose code.
And they deploy to those to the cloud provider. In our case, it's Azure.
Yeah.
And you can deploy either the binaries, and that's what we call the storage plugin. So basically, you use Azure as a big storage location that is all over the world. The interesting thing is you deploy once, but you can consume in many locations using the Azure network.
Mm-hmm.
So you can deploy in West US, and then you want to put it in Australia, for example, you can download it from the Australian site and use the Azure replication mechanism for that.
So it's more efficient for those users in that geography to grab it from there versus one location centrally.
So yeah, that's one of the things we announced. We have the storage plugin available. It's there. And we announced that we've improved what we call the slave plugin. So the idea is, again, as you want to deploy those thousands of slaves or hundreds or couple of slaves for the Jenkins master, those slaves can be virtual machines in Azure.
Linux-based or Windows?
Can be Linux, can be Windows, can be anything you want.
Depends on the app, I guess.
Depends on the app.
Right.
And we are actually improving the slave agent that is already existing to use ARM. So the previous one is using ASM, the service manager interface.
The classic model, yeah.
The classic
David
model.
Loves the classic model. He always talks about the classic model. He just loves it. Yeah.
And the V2, which we are currently in preview, will use the ARM templates. You can deploy all those virtual machines in parallel. I mean, you use the power of ARM templates.
Yeah, cool.
The last plugin that we announced that is in preview, in private preview right now, and we'll have the link where you can download and ask for additional info. The plugin deploys to Azure Container Service.
Oh, nice.
So instead of building a virtual machine and deploying to a virtual machine, you can actually build and deploy to a container.
So a slave is a container?
The slave or in the container. No, the slave can be a container, but it can also be where you deploy for production.
Ah, cool.
So directly from the Jenkins pipeline, you deploy to a container that runs in ACS, and you leverage the whole capabilities of ACS.
Nice. Cool. Is that all your...
The last one that we announced that is for the future in the roadmap is to deploy directly to Azure websites. Mm-hmm. So you can select where you want to deploy from this Jenkins environment.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Those were the announcements.
I think it's probably not a tool that I've not got as much experience with in, but certainly I suppose a lot of our IT professionals who are coming from that traditional system center world probably don't either. And what's nice is it makes a lot of sense to make that efficient part of that pipe or the whole pipeline, like you say, to get the app out there and push it to these different locations. I'm assuming you can use it if you were a completely on-premises location. You don't have to use...
You can use it on-premises as well. It doesn't have to be in the cloud.
Right.
It just happens that we are running those things like ACS in Azure, but it actually works in the cloud, and it uses the API.
Yeah.
So thinking of Azure Stack, it will leverage the same API.
Always
so you
thinking
can
of
use
Azure Stack
in the same way.
Cool, excellent, and we'll hopefully have some more info on that in the future when Azure Stack continues to get closer to launch eventually. Right, do you want to go and then I'll wrap up?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll not spin it. I'll just go. It's you. It's curving away. It's
curving up.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going all the way around to me.
To the guys in this team. Yeah.
So your 5 minutes on DevOps and open source stuff of what's left that hasn't been covered.
Yeah.
Ready.
Okay, I'm going to start with Visual Studio Team Services. We talked about Jenkins. How about Visual Studio Team Services? Installing the remote agent is kind of tricky. Not tricky, but it takes time. If you're in Linux, you need to use a script. If you're on OS X, you need to use a script. What if you already have a configuration management solution like Chef in your environment?
I was checking my news sources. And the videos
if you have Chef in your environment, welcome.
We welcome everybody.
Exactly. Okay. What was I talking about? Anyways,
we were talking about DevOps.
Yeah,
stuff.
We published a cookbook to install the remote agent using Chef. So you can just go to the GitHub repository. If you have Chef 12 or higher, you can just use this cookbook to deploy and configure the Visual Studio Team Services remote agent.
So what is a cookbook for people not familiar? Is it kind of like a run book?
Yeah, it's kind of you are letting Chef server know, hey, these are the things I want to be installed on that server, and this is how I want to be installed. Like install this, wait for this, after that do this.
Okay, cool. So it just basically tells it how to do stuff.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Cool.
And let me jump to open source parts. Dustin Kirkland did a comparison for performance between the Bash on Windows, is the Linux subsystem on Windows, versus an Ubuntu machine running natively on hardware, laptop. And very interesting results. For CPU tests, Ubuntu on Windows was slightly faster.
Nice.
Then Ubuntu running.
It's a very scientific result. It's
slightly
faster.
Slightly. It's like one is 2.8 seconds, the other one is 2.82 seconds.
Slightly. Yeah.
So about memory, for memory, Bash on Windows is like half the performance of Ubuntu on native hardware. So I'm just passing it quickly.
We're talking closer to the microphone.
Yeah. This is, again, similar to 150 megabytes per second for native, 150 megabytes for Bash on Windows. But still, this is on preview. It's not even released
still
yet.
Still plenty of time to optimize.
Yeah, we have good performance levels. So you can just... go to the link down the video and check out the extensive report. But it's really good to know that the performance is acceptable.
Well, better than acceptable.
Better than acceptable, yeah. Sometimes even higher. Extending the Linux subsystem, currently you only have Ubuntu as the user space, but I just came across a project on GitHub which aims to install Arch Linux. Or Arch Linux, I don't know. The French says it's Arch Linux. You say nothing. I'm Turkish,
well,
so I can tell anything
I've
heard
of Arch Linux. Arch Linux. How's it spelled? A-R-C-H.
A-R-C-H. Yeah.
I would say Arch then. Like an
Arch
archway. Like an archway that you'd walk through.
Okay.
You don't have to do this when you talk about Arch Linux.
And the Arch Linux.
Well, I'm running Arch Linux as opposed to Ubuntu, which would be the opposite way.
Yeah, Arch Linux. Ubuntu. Yeah. CentOS.
You can do that if you want.
Okay, Red there goes my 5 minutes writing.
Yeah, you just need like a firework on the end, sparkler.
Yeah, just add some effects to my video.
I'll try. Yeah.
Anyways, Arch Linux is they're working on putting this as an option to install as a subsystem in Windows, not Bash on Windows. It's like maybe something like Bash on Arch Linux. Just check the repository. It's very early stages, 0.06 or whatever.
Again, very scientific. Just or whatever.
Slightly whatever, yeah. And an announcement from our friends over Mesosphere. They just announced DCOS version 1.8. It's now generally available. For me, the most important part is IP per container with virtual network support is now within DCOS. So this is, most of the customers are looking for this, like, hey, I have 500 containers and I need 500 IPs pointing to these containers. If you're familiar with containers, it's very, very hard to have IP per container infrastructure.
Just DHCP.
Cool. Can I talk to the guys in Mesosphere?
Do you not know DHCP? About DHCP? I can show you.
Yeah,
that's it. It runs on Arch Linux.
Yeah. The details will be in the blog post. And finally, just before the call,
just after,
Thiago Almeida from our TED team just had an interview with Corey Sanders, or the other way, Corey Sanders interviewed Thiago about the Azure bot. We talk about Azure bot. It's like you are using a bot to manage your Azure infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And like run VMs, stop VMs.
Yeah, you can be like, you can be very polite. Hey, run VMs, please stop my VMs. Or it, since it is based on cognitive services, for example, in the video, I will put
Yo,
the link.
Stop
yeah, exactly. Yo, Azure. Stop my VMs, will ya? Or something like that. So it will just, you know, stop your VMs because it just gets what
you're
trying.
It's just cool,
to.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Nice. Yeah. Is that all of your stuff?
Yes.
Right. I will wrap up with a couple of final news stories. I mean, you've already heard the welcome on one of them, so you know it's going to be a video. But I will start my 5 minutes. Here we go. So you mentioned networking for containers. That's a perfect segue to my networking in Azure infrastructure. It's just, we're connected with Arch Linux.
DHCP, right?
It might actually cover DHCP, but our good friend, or at least my good friend, Corey Hines from Learn On Demand Systems has updated a fresh course, or freshly updated a course on the Microsoft Virtual Academy called Microsoft Azure for IT Pros Content Series, Virtual Networking. Now, anybody who's done networking in Azure or on-prem knows it can get quite complex, perhaps slightly similar to the container networking.
Slightly, yes.
Slightly complex. And this walkthrough, this particular course, about 2 hours in length, so you could watch it in an afternoon, and it's going to walk you through planning virtual networks, managing virtual networks, IP addressing some of the network services in Azure, and inter-site connectivity, so how you connect virtual networks to other networks. If you're new to Azure infrastructure or you want to get a better grasp of virtual networking, there's a lot of demos in there. They're all using the new portal, so Azure Resource Manager-based resources, which is good because that means at least it's current. Definitely check it out. It's got a good review of 5 stars so far, just the one.
Networking is the new sexy.
You heard it here first. And sticking with networking, one thing that I've always wanted to do is create a site-to-site VPN with Azure Resource Manager and Windows Server 2012 R2 to connect to my home router. And if you're the same as me, then this blog post is for you. Because on the SCOM and Other Geeky Stuff blog, there's a detailed walkthrough of how you configure Azure using Azure Resource Manager to connect essentially a site-to-site VPN from an Azure network to your on-premises home network. Well, it is on-premises, your premises. So whether you do it to your house or not, whether you just test it in the office or in your lab or whatever, the steps are more or less the same. What you're going to get is a lot more of a detailed overview of just how you set it up in Azure, how you do the Azure stuff, how you get the gateway, how do you set up the site-to-site connectivity, and then what you need to do at the other end. In this example, it's on an Asus router in their house, or router, if you prefer. And yeah, loads of steps there, how you do it, how you connect it up, and this this blog details it all. It's pretty long. I'm just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, how you configure your router. And then, yeah, you've got a site-to-site secure tunnel from your house up to Azure into a virtual network, which is pretty cool if you just want to understand how all that stuff works. Now, sticking with testing stuff out in Azure and using it as an environment to create isolated dev and test environments, isolated from a network perspective, if you are building applications or integrating with Office 365 and you want to test some stuff in an isolated environment, there's a cool blog post that's just recently been published by Joe Davis, a content developer in the Azure documentation team, which actually walks you through how you build an Office 365 dev test environment in Azure. So it enables you to perform app development against Office 365 and testing in an environment that simulates an enterprise organization. You can link it to Azure AD or Windows Server AD Forest and Azure AD, so all that integration that you would do if you were an on-prem customer using Office 365. And obviously, you can learn about the Office 365 enterprise features as well. So the blog post goes through what you need to do, what VMs you need to deploy in different network groups, how you connect it to Azure. And yeah, it's short, relatively short blog post, but useful if you do want to learn how to create an Office 365 dev test environment in Azure. I thought that was quite useful. And then finally, we mentioned storage before. If you're using Jenkins to publish stuff to storage in Azure, the Azure team have announced the general availability of the storage service encryption for data at rest. So that would be an SSEDAR, if you're looking for acronyms there. It doesn't work, really. But storage service encryption for Azure Blob Storage helps you to address organizational security and compliance by encrypting your blob storage, which actually, even though I didn't see much news on it, but it's pretty significant if you've got specific compliance requirements that my data must be encrypted. So it's now generally available for blobs, so block blobs, page blobs, append blobs. So anything that's using those is going to be securely encrypted. Microsoft Azure Storage handles all the encryption, decryption, and key management, 256-bit AES encryption, one of the strongest block ciphers available. So definitely worth checking out. I don't think you have to necessarily turn it on. I think it's just going to be there, but I'll link to the blog post and you can check out how you want to configure it and set it all up and utilize it. There is no additional charge for enabling this feature, and everyone likes free. I've given you so much free stuff this week. And yeah, 9 seconds left, 8 seconds. There we go. That's the end of my stuff. Do you want to see what's going on the Twitter sphere?
Yeah, sure.
I'll bring it up. And do you want to go around and how people can get in touch with you guys?
Your Twitter handle,
Twitter
home address.
You don't have to give phone number.
DCARO.
DCARO. Yeah. There we go. How many followers have we got now?
Slightly closer to 10,000.
Oh, that's how close are we going now? What are we up to?
True.
We're just missing 9,600. Where are you guys?
We're slightly closer. 400. We've passed the 400 barrier.
Yeah.
Champagne. That's champagne, not Arch Linux. Right, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, Twitter too, so at WBUCHW.
Nice, well, I'm Matt Easy, yeah. I'm Matt McSpirit, at Matt McSpirit.
J-U underscore S-T-R-O-H.
Nice, it'll all be in the links, obviously.
Yeah. I should have you every week, like. Mine is easier now.
Yeah, 30 episodes and people still get his wrong.
At Ols Pastrmich, O-G-U-Z-P-A-S-T-I-R-M-A-C-I.
Faster, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go faster. O G U.
Arch Linux.
Arch.
Are you sure we're on episode 30?
Because
I've just added episode 29 in the notes and added all my stuff, and you've created a new one called episode 30.
Even on Twitter, it's the last one.
Yeah,
is
the last
28.
One's 28.
I don't like 29. I don't like the
number. So we're not at episode 30. We're still at, this is episode 29, but join us next time for episode 30.
Or are we in episode 30?
Yeah. So we need to take a piece of guidance from Microsoft Mechanics. That's a professional show. But anyway, that's us done for this week. Episode 29 or episode 30, who knows? it takes courage
40
to get that right. Yeah. Yes. Anyway. So signing off, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again on another episode of the Ops Team. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Mm-hmm.